Okay, let's learn Matnas Chaim from Matnas Yehoshua Solomon. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He writes something I think we're going to all be able to take something away from this evening. Hamesilas Yesharim, in the 11th chapter. It's interesting that he chose the 11th chapter. That is the famous Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was very taken by the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, and he said that if you would have read the Sefer when the Ramchal was still alive — Ramchal died, I think, b'chayev, but meaning they overlap, but I guess by the time he got the Sefer, he was already nifter — he said he would have walked to Italy barefoot in order to learn by the Ramchal's feet. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Pretty big statement, you know, for any Rav to say, but let alone the greatest of Rabbanim, the Vilna Gaon. And then he also said another thing that he hadn't seen. He studied the Sefer carefully. In the first 11 chapters, he had not found a single extra word. In the first 11 chapters, the Vilna Gaon had a very sharp eye, the sharpest of eyes, and he said in his estimation there's not a single extra word that the Ramchal wrote in the first 11 chapters. Everybody wants to know what was that first extra word that he found, but and whether it was in chapter 11 or 12, we don't know, but there are theories as to what the Vilna Gaon meant by that. Rav Shach has a theory. We're not going to go into that tonight, but just keep that in the back of your mind or in the front of your mind. So in the 11th chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim, it says, Kishemivarin Yoni HaNekiyos, when the Ramchal, who wrote his Sefer based on the Sulam of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair — the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair made the Sulam that Torah maybe Elidei Zehirus, and Zehirus maybe Elidei Zerizus, Zerizus maybe Elidei Nikios. I might be getting some of those a little bit wrong, but each of those steps up until Ruach HaKadosh, which is, I believe, the last rung, and there's Chasidus in the middle, and there's anyway, there's a lot of different steps in the ladder, but he basically built his whole Sefer on that ladder, that Sulam of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. So on the rung of the Sulam called Nikios, he writes, and this is his Lashon, Anfei Chil HaShem Gam Kein Heim Rabim U'Gedayim. There are many branches of Chil HaShem. Ki Harbei Tzarech Ha'adam Li'eschas Al Kavai Kainai. Because a person has to have rachmanis on his creator's honor. V'chol ma she'yaseh tzarech she'yistakel v'yispayne ma'od shlo yetze misham asher yuchal li'es chil kveid shamayim chas v'shalom. U'kvar shaninu echad shaygig v'echad meze v'chol Hashem. The Ramchal saying, if we want to be a naki, if we really want to be cleansed of any traces of Avera, which is what Nekiyos is about, we have to be very careful with the Chil HaShem. Because Chil HaShem, what does that word mean, by the way? Chil HaShem, we all know what the connotation is. It means that don't profane God's name. But the word Chilul really means — anyone know what Chilul means? A Chalol, a Chilul. It means like to be vacuous, to be empty. A Chalal, Chalal means like if there is a vacuum in something, it's empty. So, a Chil HaShem means that you've created a vacuum of Hashem in the world. By acting inappropriately, when we act properly, that's creating a Kiddush Hashem, that's sanctifying Hashem's name. When we're acting inappropriately, when we make what we call a Chil HaShem, we act in a way that's not befitting Kveid Shamayim, so then there's a vacuum of Kedusha in the world. It's not just that it's neutral, but you've actually pulled out of this space that you were in, the covet of Hashem. And that's there's very few averis that are greater or graver than Chil HaShem. And whether you do it b'shegeg or meza, that's also doesn't matter. Even if you do it b'shegeg, it's also Chil HaShem. You don't have to like have in mind, I'm going to be Mechal HaShem Shemayim, but even if it's done sort of b'shegeg, that's also considered Chil HaShem. V'amru zal hechidam b'Chil HaShem. So what is an example that the Gemara in Yuma brings of Chil HaShem? I always think of Chil Hashem is when you're on a bus, when you're in sixth grade, and you know you're on a school bus going to on a class trip. The principal always got on the bus and said, "Don't put your head out the window. Don't scream because you're making Chil Hashem." That's the classic, in my mind, what a Chil Hashem is. That's etched in my brain from childhood. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Kegayna, no, like myself, you want to know what my definition of Chil Hashem is? Deshakilna Bisra V'yehivna Dami La'altar. I go to the butcher, I take home some pastrami, and I fail to give the butcher that day his payment. I'll say, put it on my card, whatever, I'll give it to some other day, I'll be back some other day. For me, that's a chil. Now, for a regular person, not a chil Hashem, that's just the way that people roll. That's how people do it. They're just like, all right, well, I'll pay you next week. Yeah, fine, pay you next week. But if Rav comes into the store and says, I'm not paying you right now, I'm going to pay you later, on Rav's level, that's a chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem. It's not because people around, the owner of the store, the workers in the store, the rabbis, they're always pushing things off. They're not so honest, impeccably honest with their money, and they're shady a little bit, and they're pushing them off, their credit. That would be a chil Hashem. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Kegayna, not for me, you know what a chil Hashem would be? Disagina Dalad Amos Blei Tayer Blei Tulin. If I would go for Amos without learning Torah, without thinking and learning, without talking and learning, or without wearing tefillin. In the olden days, we used to wear tefillin all day. Today, we don't anymore because we can't keep our bodies clean. But there are people, as we know, in Yerushalayim, or Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, always wore his tefillin. He wore his tefillin all day. He felt he could obviously keep his body clean. I once gave him a lift. He was in Chaim Berlin for some simcha. Maybe it was a pigeon ben. And I drove him home to his apartment in Brooklyn from yeshiva, and he was still wearing his tefillin. It was after dark. So I asked him, like, if the yeshiva's wearing his tefillin, you know, you're not really supposed to be wearing. And I was just asking, like, it's okay to wear your tefillin at Balayla, like, we don't do that. So he says that it's Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and it's not Rabbeinu Tam's man yet, so it's okay. That's what he said. That's what he told me. Rabbeinu Tam would allow me to wear tefillin this late. It's not safe for him yet. It's not this man. So anyway, that's what he told me. So for Rabbi Yochanan to be seen walking on the street without his tefillin or without talking, that for him would be chil Hashem. For us, we don't wear tefillin a whole day, right? And we don't always talk and learning when we're walking around the street. We don't always think and learning. But for us, it might not be for Rabbi Yochanan, and it's a chil Hashem. The inyan shekol adam lefi madrei gase lefi mashu nechsha b'nei hadar tzarek shiyispainin levilti asayis davar bilti hagen lishkamaisei. Everybody has to have a fair estimation of who they are, not just thinking in your own mind who you are, but what do people think of you? If you have a position, you know, that's, a prominent position, you might be, it doesn't have to be that you have an official rabbinic position. It might be that in your community, people look at you like a Ben Taira, and you're acting in a way that's inappropriate, or maybe you're dressed in a way that, you know, you're wearing, I don't know, you're walking around in shorts and a t-shirt, and people look at you like, wait a minute, you're the Ben Taira, you're a guy that's sitting and learning all day, what are you doing? For you, that might be a Chil Hashem. For somebody else, it might be if they're not wearing, a white shirt, a black suit, and a tie. Or they're not wearing a hat, or they're not wearing whatever on their madrega, whatever you see people doing that, not in your own, you might not think of yourself as somebody extra special, but forget about that a second. What do people that look at you think of you? What do you think that people look at you or people look at me and they expect? If I would walk around the streets and, you know, even if I felt like it was fine to wear a sweatshirt walking around the street, but it's not fine because people are looking at me and they think that I'm a rabbi and whatever. And so for me, it's that would maybe be a chil Hashem. But, you know, everybody has to know what they're, not only what they consider themselves, because we might all consider ourselves like nothing, but what do people that look at us, how are they going to view it? I just saw yesterday in a biography of Rav Moshe Aaron Stern. He was, I think that's his name. He's one of the Gedalim in Yerushalayim. Is the Mashkiach in Kamenetz. Is it Meisha Aaron or Aaron Meisha? I'm not sure. But he was very close to all the Gedalim Yerushalayim. And one time, and he was very Pashto mention. He was very simple. He didn't look at himself as anything fancy. And one time, he was walking in the streets of Yerushalayim. He was like in a rush or something. And he wasn't wearing his frock. He wasn't wearing a hat. He wasn't wearing a... So he was just like... He had to do some last-minute errands before Shabbos. And he bumps into Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And Reb Shlomo Zalman was very close to him. And he says, Reb Stern, Reb Sharon says... He says, I'm the last person in the world to stand on formality. We know Reb Shlomo Zalman was the most anivistic a person. Like there, if you want to see something interesting, there's online a video when Reb Shlomo Zalman came into some asifa and the whole place got up, and that was fine. And then he sat down on the dais. He came in late and he sat down on the dais and they made an announcement. Somebody at the microphone was saying, like, you know, Nechnas lo ulam, you know, Moron Hagoin, Pesach Ador, Vahadora, you know, Reb Shlomo Zalman, Auerbach, Shalit. And you see on the camera pans in Reb Shlomo Zalman's face, and you see, like, the physical discomfort, like, the disgust almost of hearing, like, the words of Shevach, like, the honorifics that they were lavishing on him. He, like, it was like Gehenim for him. Like, you see Mamish, like, he's cringing. Like, most people would be, okay, keep it going. I said, what else? That's it? But bring it on, you know. But he was, like, cringing. He was literally, you have to look at it online. Or maybe you shouldn't look, whatever. So, Shlomo Zalman said to Rav Stern, he says, I'm the last person to stand on formalities. I'm not into the shtick at all. But it doesn't pass for somebody, it's not appropriate for somebody like yourself, a Talmud Chacham, to run around the streets without wearing a frock or without wearing a hat. It just doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. And so he was mekabel that Musar, and he never did it again. But it just, that's a good example of, to see a Rashiva, a Mashkiach, you know, that's running around without a shirt, without a jacket, without a hat, without, you know, for him, that is very inappropriate, and that might be constituting a Chilul Hashem on his level. So a person has to know these things. Kikifi rabbis chashivuse v'chachmasa, because relative or based on how chashiv you are, how wise you are, how smart you are, how accomplished you are in learning, kein roi she yarbe zihirusei b'divrei aveida v'dikdukai ba. That's how a person has to be more careful with his aveida and his being medaktig in it. V'im einenu oisakein hari shem shamayim mischalo b'yichat z'sham. If you're not doing that, then it's very likely that you're creating a Chilul Hashem. You're creating a vacuum of Hashem's name in the world. Ki kavod ha-tayra hu shemisha yarbe ha-limud ba yarbe kemaykem b'yayshev tikkun ha-midah. Because people say, wait, this is a guy that learns Torah all day. Shouldn't he be acting in a way that's more appropriate? What type of thing is it? His midah should get better. No, if he's learning all day, there's an assumption that you're not just working on your intellectual prowess, you're also fixing your midas. Your midas are supposed to be improving. So if you're not acting in an appropriate manner, so it's undermining your limud, it's saying to the world that Torah is not doing its job, that it's, that you could actually be a Talmud Chacham and also at the same time be a person that's not acting with honesty, with integrity, with proper midas. And that's tarnishing not just your name, not just the Torah, but Hashem's name. He gave us the Torah HaKadosha, he commanded us to engage in it in order to reach our personal completion. If we're not reaching our completion, then that is show. That's a very big stain on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reputation. What kind of person? So, like with Gayim also. Gayim, like sometimes we think we can act with Gayim in a way that's inappropriate. And, I went away on a vacation a couple weeks ago with my wife, and I was in a restaurant, And we had a waiter, and I was like, you know, I was kibitzing with him. We're having a good time together. And then at the table next to me was like a Hasidish guy. And he says to me, you know, Rabbi Bamberger? I said, yeah. He said, you know, I listen to you all the time on Torah anytime, every single shir. He's probably going to listen now. Every single shir, I love it. And I said, oh my gosh, did you just hear me kibitzing with the waiter? Like, and he's, you know, that's what I was thinking. But like, you know, that's, you never know. Like, you think you're out, you're away from everybody, you're away from the world, and you could act, you know, any way that you want. And I wasn't acting, you know, grossly inappropriate. I just was acting like a regular person. I wasn't acting like a mashgiach. And not, again, like, it was just regular. It wasn't like it was neutral. But, you know, but still, I felt like, wow, you know, like, you have to really be careful because people, wherever you are, sort of know who you are. It's a small world today. It's everybody, you know, you always have to be careful because people recognize you. And again, even if they don't recognize you, but you look somewhat rabbinic, you have to act somewhat rabbinic. You have to act in a way, or if you don't have to be a senior rabbinic figure, you're also, in the eyes of your community, in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of each other, you're also, as B'nai Torah, you also have a certain standard that you have to meet. And if you don't, this is what the Ramchal is saying, that you have to be very careful because you might, unbeknownst to you, be making a Chil Hashem. You didn't think that people look at you that way, but they do. But they do.
Is it appropriate to look at people like that, or is it wrong to look at people like that? Like, what? To view, like, let's say this person was looking at you and saying, like, oh, I don't know, is the
mashgiach
acting correctly, or...
No,
is it...
You mean,
it like,
should they be judging other people? I mean,
is it, like, judging and it's not good, or is it appropriate to say, like, this is a Ben Torah, and, like...
It might be appropriate. Maybe they're doing the right thing. They can have an expectation of, you know, of people that they're Teichel Kabara, that they're acting in a way that's appropriate. And again, like, I don't think I was acting inappropriate. Please don't mistake it. But it just, I wasn't acting like, you know, I was away. I was like acting just, I was chilled. I was just like, you know, schmoozing. And it wasn't like a terrible thing. But I was, it was just funny. And I don't even think he noticed. I noticed. He wasn't judging me. He was just like happy to be sitting next to me. But like, it was a Musar Haskel. Like, you always have to be, you know, on guard, because, you know, even if he wasn't there, what if this is how I'm supposed to be acting, and now I'm acting like this, and that difference is a vacuum in Kvayt Shamayim.
Mm-hmm. Like, for us, though, let's say we see a Ben Torah, like, not doing something right, is it appropriate that we look at him and say, like,
you should be Malam Yitzchus, you should judge him favorably, you know, you should always be judging people, everyone favorably, but, you know, it might not be us, it might be your next door neighbor, it might be somebody, you know, in the shul, it might, you know, there's always people that are always looking, befrat, for B'nai Torah to like say, aha, see, he's not so good. Because not everybody loves like B'nai Torah being so perfect. They're waiting to see you slip up so that they could say, aha, you see, that's why I don't want to send my kid to yeshiva, because, you know, I see it's not, they're all fakers, something like that. You know, that's how, it's very common for people to do that. So, and you don't know, you have no idea. When you act in a way that's appropriate and you're acting always perfect, so then people are noticing that, and that might be the difference between them sending their kid to a yeshiva like you or not. There's somebody like a little bit older than me who's today a very big Rosh Yeshiva. I remember he once said, I don't remember under what circumstance he said it, but like that his father only sent him to the yeshiva that he's today Rosh Yeshiva in, because there was another boy that davened in their shul, and he always came to shul and he davened with such kavana that the father wasn't going to send this boy to that yeshiva. He's going to send him some, whatever, regular local yeshiva. But he says, I want my son to be like that. And because of that other boy, who's not a Rosh Yeshiva today, he's a nice guy, but he's not, but because of that, there was a domino reaction, and that's what caused, so you don't know, like, a lot of, this is like the flip side, it could be a Chil Hashem, but it also, when you're Mekadesh Hashem, you have no idea how much, even if you're not actively doing Kiruv, and you're not talking to parents, and recruiting for yeshiva, and whatever, but your actions are much louder than words. If you act appropriately, People will want to send their kids to yeshiva. People want to marry a ben taira. People want to, you know, give tzedakah to the yeshiva, support the yeshiva, stand up for the values of yeshiva. Today it's again like there. You know, we had a couple of months of shalom since Simchas Taira, and now again there's like, you know, about the, you know, drafting bnei taira into the army again. Like the yetzara got in, and he's starting to create tension again between the chilonim and the charedim, and. You know, so these hashkafas are very nagay. Like, okay, Taka, why Mechatesia Yeshiva Bachar shouldn't serve in the army? And that's like, now you have to prove that. So if they see what a Ben Taira is, then maybe they'll be a little quiet. But if not, they'll say, yeah, I see the local Bnei Taira. They're not like learning the whole day, and they're talking and davening, and they're coming late, and they're leaving early, and they're schmoozing. So, you know, maybe they should talk about it. You know, so everything has a ripple effect and has very real applications to life that we don't even realize. We think that I'm just a nobody and no one's looking at me. Nobody, you'd be very surprised. Rav Aaron Kotler used to say that a Ben Taira, there's no neutrality. There's no middle ground for a Ben Taira. Meaning, if you go into a restaurant, and I'm talking to every single person in this room, including myself, of course, you go into a restaurant, so maybe like a regular balabayas, if he's sitting and he's, let's say, talking very loudly, or he's a little shikker and he's screaming or whatever, and you know, so that, maybe it's not a kiddush Hashem, it's not a chil Hashem, it's sort of neutral. You know, he's acting like a normal person in a restaurant. It's not like, but a Ben Taira, if a Ben Taira is acting like that, there's no neutral. It's either you're either making an active kiddush Hashem or you're making immediately a chil Hashem. It hinges on a centimeter. I'm just acting normal. I'm chilling. No, if you're either acting appropriately or you're acting grossly inappropriately. And people look at you and people judge you and they're waiting to see which way you're going. So let's see where Matisyahu Solomon says on the heels of this Mesilas Yesharim that we learned together, which is, I think, very instructive. Achrayis zu tzricha lahachbid masa kavid al ben taira b'chol eisa v'chol shah. This responsibility that we just learned about in the Ramchal places a very, very heavy burden on every ben taira at every given moment, at every hour. She'im chas v'sholem eina misnai k'roi b'nei abriyas k'fim ha'shem achshivim ha'isai. If you're not acting appropriately in the eyes of people, as they are expecting you to. U'mezalza b'kavet acherim eina chash l'arga shaysav ay l'vriyusai es hazulas. And you're not sensitive to people. You're not caring about the health, the whole being, the well-being of others. Haylech berchayv kepera adam va'esek b'dvar mishal hevel. You're walking around the street like a wild guy, like just like, you know, just doing shtick and being loud and screaming and acting like without any oil. And you're doing like dvar mishal hevel, like very trivial types of things. Chas v'shalom, gairem, zilzol, uprisas, l'kavod ha'Torah. You are single-handedly torpedoing the kavod ha'Torah. U'mashpil bazek v'kaine. And you're lowering the honor of Hashem, of your Creator. That's the weighty burden that we have on us. It's not easy being a Ben Taira. It's not easy being a Yeshiva Bacher. And or a Rav, or anybody that has any affiliation with Taira, because people are looking at you and they're studying you and they're learning from you and they want to see how are you davening, how are you learning, what are you doing during. Ramesha Feinstein used to say before his yeshiva went away for Ben Azmanim that I'm not accusing anyone, he said, of acting in a way that's going to be a bad reflection on the yeshiva and on me and on the, you know, I'm not accusing any. You know, there's a chashuva, everyone's chashuva b'nei Taira here. But I'll tell you what I'm worried about. When you do go home, and it took Ramesh's sensitivity to, you know, to understand this, that you're going to go home to your local shul, and during Mincha and Ma'ariv, during that break on a weeknight or Chol Hamoed, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, very often, some shuls just go straight from Mincha to Ma'ariv, but a lot of shuls go and they And they have like a, you know, 10 minutes of the Rav gets up and he learns Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? Or something. Is that what you have in your shul? I mean, they learn something, right? So, and you're not going to be interested in learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You're already a, you know, Shlegel Pesach yourself. So you're going to be taking out your fancy Svarim. You're going to start Chazar and Gemara. And you're going to do, you know, Mishnah Berurah, and you're going to learn up, so you're going to be Maver Sedra, and you're going to, like, be in your own little world, and you think, well, that's the firm thing to do, right? I'm learning, I just don't have to listen to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, come on. So he says, that's very nice, but what are the Balabatim in that shul? What's their takeaway? They're going to see that this is a Bacher, he was away for a whole Zman, you know, haven't seen him since Shabbos Chanukah, now it's Erev Pesach, and he comes back home, and he's a chashuva, and he goes through Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva, MTJ, and he's not listening to the Rav. He's not listening to the Rav, he's learning his own thing. Obviously, he's not machshav the Rav. Obviously, he thinks that our Rav is like is small fries to him, and that's why he doesn't even pay attention to him. He says, that would be a chil Hashem. That would be a chil Hashem. You have to be able, you sit at the edge of your seat and you listen to every word that this Rav is saying in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. That's what I want from you. That's the Kiddush Hashem versus chil Hashem that I'm worried about. I'm not worried they're going to run in the street and start, you know, keying up cars. Like, that's not, nobody's chayshed a regular bentayer to do such a thing. But these are like the dakastika sensitive types of things that we don't even realize are bad. We don't even realize what's wrong with it. I'm learning, right? I'm learning. I'm not doing crazy stuff. I'm learning. Yeah, and you think you're from learning, and you think like that, you know, that everyone's like looking at you learning, but in truth, they're not looking at you learning. They're looking now badly at their Rav. I think the Rav is like not up to par, because if he was, then you put your Gemara away and you listen like everybody else. So that is something that we always have to try as hard as we can, and it's hard sometimes. It's very hard sometimes to do these types of things, but to be sensitive, umitzad hasheni, and on the other hand, ha'hilach b'rechayv. If a person walks in the street of misnag b'derech hayasher, this is the flip side, he is acting properly, he's walking, you know, proudly, and he's wearing the begadim that he's supposed to be wearing, and he's acting, you know, with respect, and he's saying good morning to people, and he's holding open the door to the post office as he's coming in, and he doesn't let it slam in front of the, you know, in back of him, and, you know, and the 80-year-old guy that has to nebuch, like, start pulling the door open by himself because you couldn't wait for 3 seconds to hold it open for him. If you're doing everything good and properly, Isaac b'divrei Torah v'hiluchah b'nachas v'adinas, you're Isaac in Torah, and you're walking like a mensch, nicely, sweetly, sensitively. Mekadesh Shemai Yisparach Ba'ilamai. What you're doing is you are being Mekadesh Hashem's name. You're sanctifying Hashem's name in His world. V'hu mimakdishe Shemai. And this is somebody that is being Makdish His name. This is something that is a wonderful opportunity. So every time we are doing anything, whether it's in yeshiva, whether it's on the street, whether it's when we go home, whether it's in front of our family, whatever we do, we have opportunities to make great Kiddush Hashem, which is one of the biggest mitzvahs in the Torah, v'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. And then there's also the opportunity, the terrible opportunity, to mechal Hashem Shemayim. And we don't even realize that we're doing it. Baruch Hashem, we came to the Vat tonight, we learned this together. We learned the Ramchal, and we learned Matzah Tzedek Solomon's Haysafa to the Ramchal. And so now we know that people are looking at us. And even if no one's looking at us, we should think about as if people are looking at us, and Hashem is definitely looking at us, and we have to figure out the standard that we are setting for ourselves. It's a tough call, you know, because we could spend the whole night thinking of examples of maybe things that we should not be doing so much, and what we should be doing more of, and where we should be going, where maybe we shouldn't be going. And these are, you know, things that we have to think about, and we have to understand. But the biggest takeaway is that we're B'nai Torah. And as B'nai Torah, in the words of Rav Matisyahu Solomon, we have a masa kavod. There's a very heavy cargo that's sitting on our and our shoulders. There's a beautiful letter, I just thought of, from the Alei Shur, from Shlomo Volbi, and he writes to a boy, a Talmud of his, that left yeshiva. He went to London, and I wish I had brought it in, but the letter roughly says that when you're walking the streets of London, or you're on the tube, he says, like that's the subway system in London, the famous London Underground, he says you should always think of it as if you are carrying an expensive crystal vase in your hand. And it's always like about to drop. Because he brings a chazal that Divrei Torah is kasha l'knaisai k'kli zav. It's like it's very hard to acquire Torah, to understand Shir, to understand the Gemara, to chaz the Gemara. It's a lot of work. It's a lot to acquire Torah. V'nayach la'abda, and it's very easy to lose it, k'kli zchuchas, like a glass vase, like a glass utensil. It's very easy. You just drop it in the forest, it shatters. That's how Torah is. Torah is very hard to get, but very easy to lose. And so he says, when you're walking, just remember like what you're looking at, how you're appearing to other people. Don't act like a, you know, like somebody beneath yourself, because you always are on the brink of dropping the vase of Torah. And that's, I think, you know, we should always view ourselves. We look at ourselves sometimes, and I'm just regular. I'm a regular guy. Nobody's looking at me. I'm not a Rosh Yeshiva. I'm not a Rebbe. I'm just a regular guy. Leave me alone. I'm not, you know, it's not, but I remember once there was a basketball player that got embroiled in a very big scandal. I'm not going to mention his name. But, and he said, you know, so I think a reporter asked him, so what are you saying to all the children that like look up to you, they admire you, they watch you, they follow you, they have posters of you in their room? So he said, I never asked to be a role model. He said, I didn't want to be a role model. Whether that's a taina or not, maybe it is. I mean, he's a basketball player. But when it comes to us, like, That's not an acceptable answer. I didn't want to be a role model. That's nice for you, but you are a role model. People do look at you. People look up to you. People think of you as your person that's sitting there. You went to Eretz Yisrael a year or two or three, and you know, you came back, you're learning, you're in yeshiva. They look at you like, wow, you're a rabbi. And they don't look at you as like the way you look at yourself. They look at you as chashev. And if you're and therefore if you mess up, then you're going to shatter that image that they have of what a Ben Tayr is, and that immediately creates a Chil Hashem, and then the reverberations of that are very profound. Like we said before, it really could change a person's image and perspective of Tayra and Bnei Tayra, and that's a Chil Hashem. So this is something that we have to think about, and Ashreinu that we are. It's a good thing to be a Ben Tayr. You shouldn't walk out, man, I wish I wasn't a Ben Tayr. That's not the takeaway. The takeaway is Ashreinu that we are Bnei Tayra, but now that we're Bnei Tayra, we have to step up our game. We have to play the part of Bnei Tayra, and we have to do things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be proud of us doing, and try to avoid things that would be a poor reflection on the Tayra and the Rabbeinu Shalom.